because she.
Thank
she
you for that.
So we are ready to open up.
Gender expansive people.
We're calling this meeting to order, please.
Let's just stand
the time
up and start
is 6:01. Legislator Nolan, would you like to lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Clerk Tierney, if you wouldn't mind doing roll call for us.
Legislator Petit.
Here.
Legislator Fabiano.
Here.
Legislator Litz. Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Erner.
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. All right, so first on the agenda is the approval of the April 4th, 2023 meeting minutes. Do I hear a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Any questions, amendments? Hearing none, I'll call the vote.
Did we
yes.
Not, we didn't approve the March 30th already at the last.
Oh, I took them out of order. No, we didn't
so
approve
we
March 30th.
Okay, that's
okay.
My only question.
Yeah, I was going by, yeah.
This is the regular dates. Meeting minutes we're approving with this
yeah.
Motion.
Do you want to block them? Do I hear a motion to block the minutes of April? Well, we already called that vote, but.
I'll block it. I don't
care. I'll second. We'll okay. Amend the
yeah,
motion.
We'll amend the original motion to block April 4th, March 30th, and April 3rd.
It says April 11th here.
April 11th. Any questions, amendments, comments? Hearing none, I'll call the vote on the block.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And I will call the vote to accept the minutes.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Aye,
aye, aye. Aye, 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 aye.
Nice. Nobody's ever done that. Before.
Okay. The update on the space study was recommended by Deputy County Chris Kelly. So, Director Masterson. Would you be able to update us on
sure.
The space study?
We gave you a handout, which is a synopsis more in-depth than what I'm going to say about what Bergman's been doing. Basically, they've gone around and they've done the first round of interviews with 22 departments so far. They've been on site, they've been on walkthroughs through all the departments, and they're going to start formulating the second round questions where needed and getting their sub to start looking at the mechanicals in these buildings. We have added to their scope a little bit.
Oh, good. Okay. And then what is the process after the draft? You review it, add more
it'll
questions?
It'll be submitted for comment and, you know, route it, run through appropriate bodies.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. So we distributed the letter from Bergman memo. There are three main points to the study.
Mm-hmm.
There's an initiation phase, an assessment phase, and then a documentation phase.
Bless you.
So they're finished with the first stage. They're finishing up the assessment stage,
mm-hmm.
and then they're moving on to the documentation.
Oh,
stage.
Excellent. Okay. All right. So it's really.
In fact, they give us kind of bits and pieces as they come as they finish them. And one of the items that we asked part of the scope of work was to develop an RFQ process for leases.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of worked back and forth, and we actually use that RFQ process. So it's basically the purchasing department and DPW worked together, drafted specs, and we went out to back out the bid for a warehouse space, and we got three responses. And Bergman is going to be evaluating them and looking at all three separately. So I don't know. So that's part of their documentation phase.
Okay.
Just a little heads up, if you want to hear about the three. One of them is Wonderlease lease that came back that you folks already approved.
Oh.
But there were some issues with it.
Mm-hmm. It's an old building.
Yeah. So the other one that we identified, or that actually responded, that we're looking at is 60,000 square feet. It is suitable for buildings and grounds, and it has swing space potentially.
Okay.
That we can build out in anticipation of some capital projects like here at the building,
mm-hmm.
and also maybe for some long-term space that we can add to some of the leases. And
Now, this is for lease. This is not for purchase, correct?
This is, that would be for purchase.
It would be?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't, so we're pretty excited about it. It seems to fit everything we need that we're looking for. And just as a note, side note, one thing that Bergman mentioned that they found in most of their interviews was storage space. The departments
for all
needs
departments.
All departments.
They all need storage.
They all, okay. Some type of space. Space, warehouse, etc.
Legislator Nolan.
Yeah, I asked in anticipation that when we get to this, the Ways and Means Committee will ask that. I think there's been a lot of attention on the buildings that the county has come to acquire, and some of them are quite large. So I think it's worth taking at least a look at whether any of the buildings we currently own can serve these purposes. And detailing, if it's not suitable, detailing the reasons that it's preferable to try to sell what we have and buy something we don't have.
Yeah, or could we sell three or four of them and merge into one?
That's part of their, what they're looking at also. Looking at all of the buildings, deciding whether or not, make a recommendation if they should be
Surplus
or not, and if they are surplus, that would be a conversation, maybe housing, something like that for housing.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Great.
So that's all. That will be part of the documentation phase.
Okay.
That's coming in the next month or so.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Good. I look forward to it. Thank you. Okay, next we have resolution number 554, adopting proposed local law number 10 of 2022, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to construction apprenticeships. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, Legislator Nolan.
Legislator Runk is here. I was prepared to step in with what I understood would be some proposed amendments that we could.
I've heard about them. I'm comfortable with them raising the threshold to $750,000 for it to take effect, and then extending the start date until January 1st, 2024. That was what I understood as the main points of the amendment.
I'm comfortable with that.
So I would make a motion that we amend the dollar figure in section one of the resolution from $350,000 to $750,000. And it sounds like people are willing for me to make multiple amendments in one motion.
Mm-hmm.
And amend section 2A, start date to begin January 1st, 2024.
I'll second both of those amendments.
Okay. Should we do it as two separate, or is it okay to do it as
No,
one?
You can
do them together?
The resolution is just for the public hearing.
Okay. That's true. But
you're
the
amending
public
the law
hearing.
That's going to go out to public
yes.
hearing.
Yes.
We want
to
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So you want to have the text of the law in print, just to take a quick look at where that would go in there?
It should be with the...
No, but I can print that out real quick.
Don't worry about it.
I have it on.
I'm good.
On the computer.
Yeah, I did it virtually. And it basically, what these two amendments would do is narrow the group of bids that would fall under the provision for this requirement. It leaves unchanged that there should be 30% graduation rates over the past 5 years, which basically means the program should have been running and working during the past 5 years. And it increases the number of graduates per year to 3 per year, but beginning in January 2024, so that if this is indeed, we do pass it, that there would be quite a substantial lead-in time it would be a little bit less than a year, but close to a year from the passage of the law to the time that they would need to show three graduates. So they would have to hustle in 2024 for any bids that would go out, but it would be possible for any bidder of this size to comply with the new requirements.
Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. I just want to thank the committee for their work on this, and I know that, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. I think that the conversation has been good. I think it's a good conversation to have. You know, when people ask why do we want to do this, why we want to make this change, to me, it's because you want competent, qualified people working on county projects. And that's why you look for these apprentices who have been through the New York State program, done their 3,000 and something hours, you know, and really know what they're doing on county projects. And that's why it's a valid county purpose for us to be doing this. And I think that, you know, this, you know, it widens the scope a little bit. So you're going to have, you know, $0 to $750,000 where folks who don't have that, qualification under the apprenticeship program can bid those smaller projects, but on larger projects we make sure that these companies and again, you know, we're bringing more people into the trades, mm-hmm. which is something I think we can all agree is important. You know, right now, you know, when I was in school and then thereafter, you know, you're told at the guidance counselor's office that if you don't have a 4-year degree, you can kiss any idea of owning a house or having money goodbye. You know, a lot of these positions with the building trades and whatnot, they can pay more than, you know, wages, someone who's a doctor at a hospital. you know, it's really, I think, a positive thing for the county. And, you know, anybody who says, well, this is going to stop people from bidding, it's just not true. Because, you know, any company can sign on to an apprenticeship program that has the requisite number of graduates and the requisite graduation rate. So this doesn't by itself stop anybody from bidding any county contract, be it, you know, $5 million, $10 million, or however many dollars. So I appreciate the committee's work. I appreciate the discussion.
Thank you. So, okay, we are ready to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Thank you very much, Legislator Ronk. Resolution number 217, amending capital project number 598, Crisis Stabilization Center, amending the 2023 capital budget for closing costs for the purchase.
I'll move it.
Move it. Second?
Second. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming out.
She's all in June. I'm a little dragon tonight.
See you, Mike.
See you later.
Nathan is here from the ARPA department if anyone has questions on this resolution.
Just Nate, so he knows that we're not angry with him.
Oh.
Nate is what I prefer.
Sir? Okay. All right. Then I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Resolution number 218, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Marlboro as a subrecipient to the water and sewer ARPA funding.
I'd like to ask a question about blocking.
Oh, you want to block?
Could
okay.
we block all
yeah,
of
four
the
of
ARPA
them,
funding
there?
Infrastructure?
1, 2, 3.
Resolution.
Four. Yeah. Okay,
I make the motion to block resolutions 218, 219, 220, and 221.
And I'll second that motion.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and now on the block, I think my only question would be, Nate, is has anybody finished this? I mean, how quickly are these projects actually moving through as far as the towns go?
Yep, that's a good question. So, for these four, just in general, that there is 18 months from date of the contract start date for the municipalities to complete. I would say that in this batch, there are two, Marbletown and the town of New Paltz, where we will be funding more of the pre-development. That said, you know, I think they really need the pre-development money to get it off the ground, and I think pre-development wise, that's acceptable. The project mm-hmm. may go longer than 18 months, but mm-hmm. they should use our money first, and they oh. should be up and running with our money.
Oh, great. So. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor of resolutions number 218 through 221?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, so moved. Resolution number 278, authorizing the Department of Environment to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration for Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Discretionary Grant Program. Motion?
I'm happy to move it.
Okay, second?
I'll second it.
Any questions for, we have Deputy Laval here. Do we have anybody from the Department of Environment? No. Okay.
She used to be.
I know. All right. If there are no questions, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 279, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 6 of 2023, a local law amending the code of the Ulster County Chapter 131 Vehicles, County Article 1, Sustainable Green Fleet Policy. That's a mouthful. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Legislator Erner. Any questions?
Maybe a summary for the, you know, for our edification of the changes, the improvements would be great.
Sure. In line with the county executive order one, looking at ways to bring the county's kind of operations and our initiatives in line with the state climate act, there are a few changes proposed to the different groups. One of them is to both, you know, standardize the terminology. So we're now using zero emission vehicle because that is what the state uses, as well as looking at the timeline to more mirror the timeline in the community climate act.
They should make us stamps.
We've been outpacing the goals previously in the Green Fleet, and we continue to do so, and so that we think that this will be in line with what the practice has been so far. The only thing is saying that you know, some of the technology is not available yet, so that we'll be looking at that over the next 10 years. Some of the goals are also passenger and light duty truck vehicles. So we've expanded them to the light duty trucks because as they're going to start to come onto the market. So we're excited about this, and it really does change our default to thinking about electric into the fleet. And you know, it very much complements the ongoing capital project to install charging stations.
Okay, and I think that's the biggest part right now for pushing the vehicles. We need those charging stations in. Okay. Any other questions?
I'd be right. Glad to hear the public weigh in on this.
Yes, yeah. All right, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 293, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 670 for the UCSO Bearcat G3. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Yeah, this has already passed in law enforcement.
Yeah. Legislator Erner.
So I know the sheriff's not here. Maybe we could ask Deputy Laval, but I guess the only backup was this from the manufacturer, Lenco, and I see some, I remember in the committee, Legislator Uchitel had asked the sheriff about the color scheme for the vehicle being like not military. That was something that had been discussed in the budget process as well, that we're basically getting a smaller vehicle that's the sheriff felt was more appropriate for civilian or for police use rather than for
military
use. I remember a discussion
about a similar vehicle in the city of Kingston, where the current vehicle that the sheriff has being considered a defensive vehicle, but some folks who were objecting to it said actually you could outfit it with weapons capability. And I do see that on here. I mm-hmm. see a couple line items. It says weapons mount and vertical gun port upgrade. So I'm just wondering if anyone could speak to that. Is this actually a civilian defensive vehicle, or can it be used to shoot?
I mean, the meetings I've gone to, they never talked about outfitting it for anything more. It's more of a response vehicle.
It's more or less that they never mentioned that at the law enforcement and public safety at all about it.
Yeah, it's
it just was for more of appearance to intimidate some, you know. But they never mentioned it would be armed or mm-hmm. guns shooting out of the sides or any. No, nobody made any mention of that.
At law enforcement, we did have Chief Lucchese there.
From New Paltz.
Yes, and I was in New Paltz when this happened. They had three officers pinned down with a active shooter inside the house, and it took them over 2 or 3 hours to get them out. The vehicle, because again, they've never mentioned that it was for any kind of aggressive use, but just to be able to drive in because it is... I don't know what they call it, armored deflectant, armored,
shoot at
so
it.
They can go in and pull people out, and they evacuated some of the surrounding houses, too.
That's basically what they want to use it for.
And I never let them get, a machine gun.
It sounds from the whereases that the physical presence of this vehicle would be less intimidating than the prior vehicle, and so I favor that.
I think the color is going to be white.
It's going to look like one of our cruisers.
It says up top, lusterless urban green.
Lusterless
whatever that means.
Urban green.
That doesn't sound like our vehicles.
They need to hire somebody new in their marketing department.
I don't know. I would like to move to postpone to get some answers to these questions, but.
I'm not in support of a postponement. Okay. I know what I heard the sheriff say, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, I don't know the impact of a postponement at this point, and I think that the questions are reasonable. Everything that has come from the sheriff's office leads me to believe that the vehicle will be used not in the intimidating ways that...
More like a rescue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm comfortable moving it forward. I would be happy to reach out or have Legislator Erner reach out with his questions to the sheriff. And if there come back any troubling answers, to take that into account at a later phase of the review of this legislation.
Yeah, because I'm comfortable now, but given that you pointed that out and the sheriff has assured us that it would blend more, it would look more like a not necessarily a civilian vehicle, but like a Ulster County Sheriff's vehicle. So, not military. And I think if they deviated from that further on, I would support your concerns. But I am also... I don't know if it would
call
be an
tomorrow.
Issue. Yeah.
He'll be glad to talk to you about it. He's good that way.
And lacking a second, I would ask that you call the question.
Okay. All right. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nope.
Let's say aye. Okay, thank you. Resolution number 302, amending the 2023-28 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project for the courthouse fascia, exterior repairs, and roof replacement for construction services. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I mean, considering there's no SHPO money for this, we still can't put solar on the roof?
So that was looked at, but it was looked at prior to the policies in effect, and it was looked at prior to my being employed by the county. So I really can't answer.
Okay.
I know that there was a site tour with the project managers and other county employees to look at solar on that building, Mm-hmm. I guess this is one of the first projects that this was one of the first projects I did talk about. Mm-hmm. And I asked a question.
You get lots of sun there.
Because I was on that site tour. And I think it was in the planning phase, thinking about roofs. And again, we didn't have a directive like we do now. However, some of the constraints in that building were that it is a relatively, you have old style kind of timbers in the roof, as you can imagine. And the west facing roof is actually pretty limited, even though there is a lot of the south facing roof on that side and then the south and west. The run to get from the attic space to the basement where the electrical is rather convoluted. It, would have to come through chases in the back of courtrooms and things like that. And when we looked at overall the amount of electricity that would be generated from that array there versus kind of the complications of the design, we then started talking about what would solar canopies look like in the parking lot or some other type of installation versus that might be more cost effective. So, but we are going to look at things again with, we can look at the solar canopies maybe with our analysis that we're doing for the summer. So, okay. It was a very long run from the attic to the basement to the electrical room. It was very, it's a very old building. It makes it pretty complicated.
Legislator.
Thank you. A whereas says preserve the useful life of the historic facility. How many more years will this give us in that courthouse?
So we build it to maintain the historic nature of the building, right? Or we're renovating it this time, but it was built. So we're planning on continuing to renovate it and maintain it in the meantime, so it can last forever.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor of resolution number 302?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
So you're no? Okay. Thank you. Resolution number 304, approving the execution of a contract for $881,900 entered into by the county with Milcon Construction Corp. Motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion?
What are we getting for our $4.88 million?
Not solar.
Everything but solar. I can tell you that. Getting new roof, new fascia, new canopy on the side. Side entrance gonna have a canopy. Everything from a new bluestone front patio to new sewage, I believe sewage line to fence in front. Hopefully some new plantings, but there's a lot of work that goes into it. And doors, exterior doors.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yes, Legislator Erner.
I'll just explain real quick why I'm going to vote no here again. I understand why we're doing this, but I wonder if we could invest in some other things or... considering the housing crisis and many other things going on in the county right now, if we need to move the courthouse and things like that and have a less beautiful place, I'd be okay with that. So I'm just not sure about spending so many millions of dollars right now. That's about it.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Thank you. Resolution number 306, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Department of Transportation to accept the New York State chair for mass transportation projects for federal fiscal year 2023.
Did we skip 305?
Did we skip that one? Oh, I don't see 305.
There is one. There was no action was taken in law enforcement.
Oh, so it's both.
Oh, okay. Right. Or do you have a magical, you have a different, okay.
Yeah.
How'd she know?
Okay, so going back to the Shore for Mass Transportation Projects, yes. I'll move it.
Move it, second?
Second.
Okay. I think my only, and we don't have Planner Doyle here, would be... What's on the table? What are we
So whenever go ahead.
Yeah.
So this is actually not a it's transportation, but it's not a planning. It's not
UCAT.
Transportation.
It's not planning.
It's UCAT.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's our state share from NYSDOT that we receive.
Okay. All right.
And we're very happy to receive it.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Erna.
Thank you. So I saw the attachment one, which spanned 2018 to 2023, this Schedule A. And I saw something about buying the fare collection equipment, so I understand this is old and we're not doing fares anymore. I just wanted to mention, I was at the Community Services Board meeting, and there was folks there from the Persons with Developmental Disabilities Subcommittee who had heard that the fare free was going away. And so there's still some confusion. I know that the legislation doesn't say that it will, but I remember hearing that after we passed it from some messages out in public. I hadn't heard it in a while, but I just wanted to mention that. I did run into the county executive on the way in the building and mention that to her, but I just wanted to say it also here so everyone knows that that confusion ought to be cleared up. I guess that's a statement. I did have one question, too.
That's important, and I'm wondering, I mean, I would be willing to move it forward, but only with the condition that we're not interested in any type of fare collection, because it's
so that application for the fare collection equipment,
yeah.
That's in New York State, I think. Does it say ATC or MAP? Do they just... it's an MEP. It's 100% funded. When we put that application in, it was right before or as COVID was going on. So there's 400. This is off the top. I didn't even see that. But it's. I think it's around 400,000 in there. I wrote it. That's it. So there's around $400,000, which we can amend to use it for something else.
Oh,
we don't
great.
Have intention of purchasing fare collection equipment now, and because it's 100% funded, mm-hmm. until we change it, they won't change it on their master agreement.
Right. So can you use it to, say, hire another driver and expand a route, or it's not
no,
for operations?
That's not.
This is capital.
That.
Okay. Okay.
So
signage?
We can use it to do
software,
we can use it for software, we can use it for, you know, the purchase of buses, anything. We can use it towards infrastructure, basically.
Yeah, my car broke down, and I took UCAT the next day to pick my car back up from the mechanics, and one of the things that two things I noticed in relationship to this repurposing question. One was I loved not having to pay a fare because I was dealing with, you know, all kinds of trying to make schedules meet and just not having to deal with that. Great. But I did look for whether I could make a donation, and there wasn't an easy way that I saw for me to make a donation. So one thing might be donation boxes. The other thing was that some of the riders had, the driver was able to answer my questions about where I need to go perfectly, and everything worked well for me. Some other riders had questions about how long the stay over would be at certain stops, and the driver was new to the route and didn't know the answers, but I thought the driver and the bus should have a display of the route and those times, like on the subways down in New York City.
So they actually purchased one of those systems. However, it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
So
we have
last
to make it work.
Year, they returned it, or we just didn't pay for it. So now with our new software, the new Novus software upgrade that we just put in, we've been talking to this software company, and they actually can provide that type of service. So we were, I think, we had to get the county attorneys involved, and the announcement system just didn't work. They were coming in to, like, rewire every bus, and then the microphones didn't work, and then they worked outside of the bus. So it was just a big cluster. And so we sent those
confusion
back.
Cluster.
Right, confusion. So we had to pay a little bit of a restocking fee, but however, we didn't have to pay for the entire unit. So that is one thing that's on our list to
replace.
Upgrade. And that could be, that money could be used from fare collection to that.
Good.
So that's an item that could be used for.
Because Director
In fact,
Roser,
it's probably on there, the old one.
Director Roser mentioned that upgraded system, which would really interface with, you know, the marquees
mm-hmm.
on the top and
mm-hmm.
with the tablets that the drivers have, and it would be, you know, what do they call it when it's actual time?
Real time?
In real time.
Yes.
Thank you. So, Legislator Erner and I were talking about budget modifications, but maybe we don't have to do that now.
Yeah, it'd be
so
nice if we can repurpose some money for
yeah.
that.
Right,
yeah.
That will be one that we can, and also the money left over from that stop announcement.
Mm-hmm.
However, the state pulled our bus wash money out of that instead of, so it's just, it wasn't our fault, it was the state's. I think they were going through a personnel change over there. But we know where it's at and just have to reference the right lines.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Legislator Erner.
Thanks. One more item on this chart here. The surveillance and security, who watches that?
So those are actually bus cameras that were put on the buses. And they're not, the only time we pull those tapes is if it's requested because of an accident. We don't just watch them. We do have some Samsara equipment on the buses now, and those will give the mechanic, the maintenance and safety coordinator, he will get an alert if there's a check engine light or a driver is speeding or something like that, and then he'll look at it. That's on the cloud.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 307, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the Power Authority of New York Electric Bus Charging Infrastructure Project Phase 2.2.
Mm-hmm.
Motion for discussion.
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
Erner? Any discussion? Legislator Erner.
Thank you. The letter from the Power Authority says, the project cost, inclusive of fees, is $697,000. Funding from the utilities, which are not expected to reduce the cost to the transit agency. And then it goes on to say NYPA and UCAT will collaborate on identifying funding opportunities that may apply to the project. Maybe this is a question that belongs in Ways and Means, but I'm not on that committee. So can you, anybody explain that?
So this resolution is kind of a ministerial cleanup. So prior, I think it was 2 months ago, you had a resolution again referencing NYPA and the same funding project, but it included the budget and the amending the capital project in order to do it. That resolution should have said and also enter into the intermunicipal agreement. So you've already approved the funding and the money. There was just an oversight, and that resolution didn't also approve you to enter into the municipal agreement. So now we're back to ask for that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 308, appointing member to fill vacancy on the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. Motion for discussion? Legislator? Oh, no.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any questions?
Second. Who's on first? I spoke briefly with the chair of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee, legislator Gina Hansett, who's been wonderful to have on the committee, has asked to resign, and so this appointment is to replace her. And my understanding is that Chris Hewitt, who's been active in his comments about how we should pursue trail development in Ulster County, is willing to step forward and serve on the committee, so
excellent.
It should be great.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. And these other two resolutions, 305 and 309, were both held in committee?
305, no action was taken on law enforcement, and 309 has not been introduced yet. That's for a June introduction, but we just wanted to put it on your radar.
Oh, okay. We don't have anyone here to discuss. Okay.
Well, I was just going to ask if... And maybe it's inappropriate, but is there anything else that you can tell us about why they held it in law enforcement? Was there a request for more information or any concerns raised?
I do not know the answer to that, but I can find that out for you.
It was never even discussed there in law enforcement, I don't believe, right?
They said from the outset that they were going to wait on it. It may just be that they don't have all the equipment lined up that they need.
Yeah,
and
this
so forth,
was just 309.
Oh, I'm talking 305. But
305.
Mm. Oh, I apologize. I thought you were talking about 309.
309 has not been formally introduced
right.
yet.
Right, okay.
Okay. Oh, that's Legislator Stewart's resolution.
309.
309, yeah, placing a cap on which, yeah. I wish he was here to discuss it. I mean, it is interesting, but, you know, with the world as crazy as it is, what happens when we hit a threshold and then we can't go any further with that? A building with no roof?
Yeah, he'll get a chance to explain it next month, I guess.
Okay.
But I share that concern and prefer to deal with an actual situation than a hypothetical situation.
Yes, yeah, and I understand everyone's a little shy from what happened with the jail, but we also, I don't know, we got a $100 million building, so.
This thing is going to be a runaway freight train.
This is going to be, yeah, it's going to be expensive.
You see the writing on the wall already.
New business. I had something I'd like to ask on behalf of Union Center Road. I've had three inquiries. I sent some pictures about the trenching, and the residents are acknowledging, especially the ones on that side of the road, everything's downhill and there's a lot of water just in that area in general. In fact, there's a farm just down the road from 155, and they raise wild rice, so there's rice paddies. That's how wet it is. The question was, can it be graded the other way? Because the way it is now, it was graded so it runs down his driveway, and he's had to sandbag his garage doors so it doesn't flood. And there was also a resident, 227, that had similar questions.
As far as banking the road the other way, no. But there's other things we can look at. We're still going to be putting a 2-inch cap on that road. This is not the final product. So
okay.
It's a work in progress.
Okay.
Depending on, especially like 155, when we chase and slope, because the driveway goes down.
Yeah.
There might be an opportunity for us to put in some sort of swell.
Okay.
Out of the driveway to try and catch or redirect some of that water.
Redirect it, yeah, even if it's towards the back. Okay.
Yeah, that's not done. I talked to the guys today also about the shoulders. They only cut a little bit, but, you know, after the project's done,
they'll
come back with their shoulders on. That'll absorb some of the water, help some of that.
Okay.
But it's a challenging situation there.
That
except
whole
for the driveway
road is,
goes up, then everything goes down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Even where the rice paddies were when I was there a year ago, they were pointing out, you know, how it's almost like a I don't know, like a little spring or something, but it's continuous. That's not even rainwater. It's a challenge. So I think the consensus is they don't mind diverting it to another spot in the yards, but you know, this one in particular, going down the driveway into the garage was
stressful. Yeah, we'll continue to
thank
work with
you.
Owners on that.
Okay.
It might not be today, but we'll make sure we leave them in a good place.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's literally a like rice paddy going there?
They have rice paddies, yeah. It's a CSA, it's the littlest farm or something, and it's wild rice. Yeah, and they just got an ag certification or designation. And I think they're also bought another piece of property somewhere where they're considering. But I walked down there and I'm like, is this rice? And she goes, how did you know? Because I had a friend in Clove Valley in Atlickerville who was playing with putting in rice paddies, which is very interesting. But we have the water.
Yeah, well, if you can get rainwater diverted to the rice paddy
that's
instead
right.
of the garage,
that's right.
Yeah. That seems like the
or the guy on Cowhow.
Right solution.
The one on Cowhow who's tried to have a property designated twice, I said, why don't you just put in rice paddies? You can't farm here. It's swamp. So... and Legislator Erner, did we have questions for you, Kat, about the communications person and the progress with filling the deputy positions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to thank Deputy Executive Laval. We had a meeting last week, but I admit I didn't totally come away understanding all about what the progress on the positions, or Director Roser wanted to talk about it either also.
We spoke last week, and we'll start interviewing next week for the deputy positions. There's not a communications position put into our budget for communications person.
One of the deputies covers that? Or how
right
does
now,
communications get covered?
Right now I cover them to the best of 24 hours a day that I can.
Is that communications within the department or between you and the public, or which communication?
So, if anybody... So, on our Facebook, if somebody asks a question on Messenger, it comes back with an automatic reply, and then we go through those replies. We also have surveys that people fill out. Actually, Chris Ferris, he takes care of the surveys, and he'll try to answer those questions on... the public comments that come through on Facebook, I message them back personally. I don't start a conversation on the Facebook page unless it's a cut and dry answer. I'll message them back privately for that.
I think it's worth considering, and you're kind of coming in midstream, but this sort of service, I think, could benefit by somebody whose focus was the communications, both internal and that outward facing. So these will be new people coming in
right.
as well,
yes.
So it might not be appropriate
and
right away. But
part of the skill set that we're looking for, you know, someone who handles perhaps more the finance, the software, thinking about routing, and has a brain for that kind of analytic job set, and then someone who can help with operations, but also thinking about connections with groups, kind of the public, interacting with the public, all the different, so not just kind of it'll be three people instead of Tony. So that's I think that the operations side of it would be the person that would handle the communications, and so they wouldn't have to do it 24/7. We could probably give some of those duties to an on-call or somebody like that who's on call.
And I remember
go ahead.
One of the positions you mentioned would have involved somebody who's interested in vulnerable road users, traffic safety kind of stuff, or an experience with that too.
Hopefully, you know, to think about someone who comes in with transportation experience, I think that would be good too. We've been putting our feelers out in the community, and we're eager to start the interviewing process.
Do you want to offer the members of the community who are here
Absolutely. Opportunity. We have Barbara Budick, who is a Saugerties resident, and you are on the...
I'm on the stock committee in Saugerties. I came here tonight to check and see if there was any reply to your letter mm-hmm. that I had requested regarding a traffic study on Kings Highway. Actually, both rail and highway is needed. We have a lot of a few companies coming out there, a distribution plant to begin with, and I was just checking to see what kind of information I can get on that. And also to see if there was actually going to be a subcommittee on that issue, or there was some discussion about uh-huh. that, and whether it was bounced back to the committee or what. I mean, we could certainly help in that regard. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, the special committees, a working group, a subcommittee got... It got a little difficult because several of us here wanted to attend the meetings, but if it's a subcommittee, you're only allowed to have two committee members.
Uh-huh.
So with that, we've been doing special meetings. Our clerk just sent out a list of proposed special meetings. The next one that's definite will be, is it the 27th or the 25th?
The 25th.
In Clintondale at the firehouse. We do have one scheduled, I think, in July up in Pine Hill. June, where was June? Or no, July was Esopus and June was Pine Hill. But we'll
yes,
get that
June 22nd
out.
Is Ellenville. July okay. 27th is Esopus. August 17th is
Shandigan.
Pine Hill. And August 31st is tentatively New Paltz.
Okay. All right. So we'll confirm that with you. I just forwarded, actually... The email, the clerk was right, it was Chelsea, last year's clerk, so it was sent out in November, and I believe you'll have Mrs. Budick's email on there.
And,
so you can send her a response to what the state said, the letter they sent
yeah,
back?
If there was one, yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. It's just that I've been following this area for a long time. I live out there anyway, but... it seems like things inadvertently get pushed aside, and if you don't keep pushing them out in the front,
right.
they get, through local elections and a lot of other things, they just get sidelined.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is an ongoing thing, and because now there is some economic development going on out there, and
right.
Some new housing coming in. I think we should be taking a look at that. Mm-hmm. I know I talked to Dennis Doyle about they're doing a traffic count out there or whatever. They haven't started that right yet, but it's in the works. But things are happening out there now. Like I was rear-ended pulling into my driveway because there's no speed signs there.
Mm.
There's no warning about the Canos recycling plant there. Trucks pulling out there. I mean, it isn't like every moment,
mm-hmm.
but easily there's 3 or 4 dozen trucks a day in and out. And even if they're careful, on both sides, there's a turn there, like a curve, a very slight curve. And people lose that road and they just keep going. And it's something that should be looked at.
Because now past that curve, it's very nice and straight to do like
yeah,
drag
nice
racing
and straight,
stuff.
Right
on.
Out until
yeah.
you get to that little turn right where Canals
yeah.
is. And now's the time to look at it before you get more trucks coming out there, and then we're backpedaling trying to go, well, we
mm-hmm.
should have done this, we
mm-hmm.
should have done that. So I'm trying to follow up on
yeah.
it, and I'll make the report.
And thank you. I didn't realize it was November. It doesn't
yeah,
seem like that
yeah,
long
Yeah, it don't
ago.
Seem like that long
no.
ago. Wow.
It's been a while, so I thought I would come back and kind of shake the bush a bit.
Thank you.
yeah. Thank you.
You spoke at the Traffic Safety Board about your concern, too, right?
I did.
Yeah.
And the... Town also sent a letter confirming the need for that study and that they want to push forward and whatever, so it wasn't like an irate citizen just crawling out of the woodwork and, you know, throwing stones or whatever. There really was some support there. And so I thought, well, the STAC committee only meets every other month, so if I had an update, it's a tomorrow night meeting, so I could take an update to that. So. So that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
And anything else?
A couple quick things.
Okay.
Speaking of traffic safety, so Chair Petit, you and I were on that meeting with those BARD students who were going to kind of help launch what I had not formally presented to this committee before, the Vulnerable Road Users Bill of Rights, but they were going to help do some preliminary research around that, and I think they were going to present it maybe not to our committee, but I think Legislator Green was going to set something up for them.
Yes, that'll be energy and environment.
Yeah. But hopefully, that obviously is business that we cover here too, and also law enforcement, public safety covers. So maybe they should talk to the whole legislature.
Yeah, it would be nice to get them in. Yeah, it's part of their final project, so they have a deadline at the end of this month. But climate change also, transportation is one of the big impacts. So
one of the biggest sectors.
Yes.
After buildings.
Yeah.
I had this whole, this is a list of all the bridges in the whole county, and I guess it's alphabetical by town, and then it goes by, I'm not sure what else, but under the status of the bridge, it tells you who owns it, so we got like county, town, state, and then the only things it can say is under status is whether it's poor or not, and I found the Bridge Street project, which we've been invited to go inspect next week in there. I see that bridge was built in 76.
Oh,
and
could I get an update on that? I would like to go out and see it. You're hosting, right, Legislator Nolan?
Yes, so that date doesn't work for me, so I'm in conversation with DPW about moving it out a week to the following Monday, which would work better for me if they can accommodate that, which I think also give a little more notice to everybody.
Just booked something
else
for that Monday.
Well, not the whole day, huh?
Like the morning. Well,
Anyway,
it's okay if I miss it.
So I'm sorry to interrupt with that update. What is your question about the Bridge Street Bridge?
Well, actually, it was more general. Do we have? Does the Department of Public Works maintain like a priority list of? Here are all the bridges in poor condition, and then the schedule, like when we're going to get to remedying that.
We have a multi-year plan as far as what bridges are going to do each year, both in-house and contracted out. The state maintains a much more than good, fair, better. They have a scale of 1 to 7, feds scale of 1 to 9, and that's a database that's maintained by the state. And our engineers have access to that, so they take that into consideration when we're programming replacements. This bridge in particular, it's not just the status of the bridge, but the condition of what that bridge does to the community. It's a huge cause for the flooding down there. So it's a huge help to that community if we can get this bridge up and wider.
Mm-hmm. There's and also plans in Shandaken and more specifically in Phoenicia that would include the concept of the water system. Having a duplicate pathway that would go across the bridge. So that planning has to be on hold if there are going to be major upgrades to the bridge until those upgrades are done in order for that money to be used most effectively.
And there are several bridges like that. The one in Rosendale and the one in Port Ewan both have, I think one has sewer and one might have water and sewer. Yeah.
Good opportunity for redundancy.
But, I mean, that would lead me to, we have quite a few bridges, I think there's 65, that may be yellow and or red flagged. And we did lose maybe a third to a half of your bridge staff when they took the retirement option when COVID first hit. I would like to see, those positions, even if you need a budget amendment, just so we can get more qualified workers into that department. I know from, I've put in a couple of bridge grants, which was really interesting, but I was working with Mike Cafaldo, so it was a real learning experience. But when you put in for a bridge and you have engineers, the price goes up from materials, which is like 120, 150, all of a sudden it's 600 to 800,000. So it would be nice to be able to do these in-house. it's just my two cents. Yes.
Add to this, to the memo that Andrew, our engineer, sent to you guys, the cause to bring it to your attention is the resolution in the law related to the UND rail.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be seeking your permission to take up some of the rail as part of that bridge project.
But that's from the one that goes further, I mean, it said east and west, but it goes up, I'm thinking north, up 28,
west.
Where
west.
It's pretty much gone anyway because it washed into the Esopus.
Yeah, the rail that's in use there begins at Bridge Street, but
correct.
It runs east.
Rail explorers
mm-hmm,
start
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, and Ulster County owns, in fee simple, the corridor going west, but as Sheriff Petit has said, that corridor is no longer intact due
mm-hmm.
to migration of the stream
the
bed.
Water.
So there have been thousands of feet of rail that have been taken up, and so you know there'll be an assessment of how much more would need to be taken up. But the county has, under policy, designated everything west of Phoenicia up to the county border as trail, and the rail has no benefit for being in there. So I don't see any problem with a resolution to take up rail if need be for a bridge project, if it's west. If it's east, there's other owners, including
yeah,
a nonprofit
yeah.
that owns the Railway Museum there, which is a wonderful place to visit if anybody hasn't been there yet. And now the Rail Explorers operation, which is run out of the Railway Museum there. And that's an active enterprise, and we'll be going out for bid for recontract possibly in the next month or so.
And it's also a revenue, and you know, so
it's
yeah.
The county leases that east of Phoenicia, and it's bringing a lot of economic development to the town
mm-hmm.
of Phoenicia.
So can you ship the bridge over?
So there's four alternatives,
mm-hmm.
and we recognize the importance of the corridor to the east of that road,
mm-hmm.
and we're mitigating impacts quite a bit. And we're retaining all proposed and that sort of thing, raising it all up. So we acknowledge the issues out there.
And I believe it only said a 50-year flood. How much higher would it have to be for a 100-year flood? Or is it a 100-year flood?
It doesn't even do a 50-year. I think it might be maybe a 25 right now.
Oh, right now it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it has to be higher and longer.
Higher
yeah.
and wider.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are two streams that come together just upstream of this bridge. So if there is an impediment to the flow of the stream, it can't, instead of it dissipating into some very unused lands, it backs up into the village of Phoenicia.
Oh, no.
The hamlet of Phoenicia. And so we've had fish streaming, you know, swimming down the main street in Phoenicia during some flooding situations.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive flooding when it happens, and this bridge can be
yeah.
an important element of
oh,
that.
Oh, no, that I never heard before. That's
never heard
yeah.
that?
No.
Yeah. Sit out on your porch with your pole.
Oh, no.
At least twice since I've been around, it's been picked up, and the bridge has
self.
Moved.
Yes.
At least a foot during
wow.
storm events.
Well, did you lose it completely during
that.
Irene? I thought
no.
that one went
no.
completely, no?
No,
okay.
No there was
that was down in Boyceville.
There was an old
yeah.
bridge
that was, in Boyceville.
Was lost by the old Colbert Bridge.
Colbert, yeah.
But then definitely saw another two or three storms in a row that ended up down Main Street, like back to back, year to year. So
yeah.
it's a community that has a lot of
yeah, a lot
blood
of challenges.
Issue.
For being so high in the mountains.
The Stony Hollow, Silver Hollow stream, Stony Hollow stream coming down has had a lot of work done through the Ashokan Watershed Stream Management Program. So when you get all these pieces addressed, then you get much better flood resilience,
mm-hmm.
which is very much needed in that hamlet.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Well, I thought you had another question. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Okay. So let's move.